Hello, everybody. So I just wanted to give a quick preview of the Eye of Terror novel, which we're going to read. Now, of course, this won the popular vote. I'll be getting through this relatively quickly and getting on to another one. Now, I'm not going to ask you to vote again because I know what I want to read next. But after that, we'll have a vote and you can decide what we're going to read afterwards. But I'll only be presenting you with a number of options, so don't get too carried away. Now, Barrington J. Bailey was a fellow West Midlands type, I guess you would say. He was from Birmingham, so he's not one of mine, but he's near enough. He was a sci-fi writer. He was born in 1937, and he passed away in 2008, unfortunately, from bowel cancer. Now, he was a sort of sci-fi writer that wrote for a number of different things, covering a number of different worlds, one-off, one-shots and stuff like this. A sort of classic sci-fi writer from that era, going through the 70s through to 2000s. The last book he wrote was in 2005. Now, I've never read any of his non-Warhammer-related stuff, but he did write a number of short stories, such as the Battle of the Archaeosaurs. I've read a few of them on the channel. And really, he was, as soon as Black Library was founded, this is one of the first people he went to, And yeah, a lot of his stuff is off lore-wise, and a lot of the stuff in this novel is off lore-wise, so you have to bear that in mind. But other than some inconsistencies, and you've got to remember as well, you do have to remember, his era at Black Library, a lot of the lore hadn't been set down. I mean, this is way before the Heresy, where things got a lot more structured and a lot more set out. It was a lot more haphazard back then. I mean, I can refer to you to the Inquisitor War novel series. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there that just doesn't work in the current setting, but it's still fun to read. And I would say, without sounding too highfalutin, these are sort of foundational texts for 40K. And this guy, Barrington J. Bailey, the things that you might think, oh, that's wrong, you just have to let it go, right? I know it's frustrating sometimes, and I read these things and I'll be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, it's just subtly wrong. But as long as you keep that in mind, you'll enjoy the series, you'll enjoy the book. Just try and use a different word. You know, if he's used the wrong word for something, just keep that in mind and, you know, embrace it. It's just a fun story, and it's one of the books that really set the tone and the scope of the universe, I guess. And some of the sort of really sort of foundational lore that we take for granted now, this guy really did a great attempt at sort of adding to that initial Black Library lore setting. And the novels, of course, have really become the mainstay of GW lore going forward. Now, this guy is shockingly sort of considered to be in the same realm. He's from that same school of science fiction writers as, Ian Banks, Brian Stapleford, those kind of guys. And, you know, you got to bear him some kind of respect for that. You know what I mean? Like, by the time, so when he passed away, he was 71, you know, he's from another generation, of course. So he's bringing a lot of that 70s, 80s, really, really interesting, out there science fiction thought to this universe. And considering, again, the universe wasn't exactly completely planned out, it wasn't all hard and fast with the law, with rules of the universe. I think he's done a very good job of adapting his style to this setting. And he's created something that's really interesting. Again, some of the lore elements are a bit off. But, for instance, you know, when he's talking about some of the planets they go to, where the individual cultures they have there, they're very puritanical. Or when he's discussing the fringe worlds, the frontier worlds of the Imperium. These are ideas which have transmuted into the current setting. Different, more planned out, more set within an existing structure, framework of the lore. But this guy was working from scratch, basically, just on the occasional bits of stuff that were in the codexes and everything, and he's managed to construct a novel based in that universe. Now, I would say, I mean, there's way more inspirations and stuff, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that a lot of the people who would go on to write sort of stories like Firefly and Farscape and things like this, this predates those kind of stories by a lot. Now, I know other writers were doing similar things, which may have inspired people to produce these kinds of shows and the sci-fi universe that, you know, we all know and love. But this book very much captures that energy as well. But it's in the 40K universe. And again, this was like the second or third 40K novel. You get me? Like, once Black Library was founded, of course, there was a couple before that were just sort of GW releases. But you got to just bear this stuff in mind. So this is really, it's just an explanation, I guess you'd say. I like the characters in general. I think they're an interesting take. And again, if this was edited to have more of a the current setting, the current rules of the universe, then this would be a fantastic novel. It's just because it's old and it's a bit off and it's a bit generic sci-fi, I would say, in places, rather than, you know, in setting universe. But he gets the Chaos God elements. He gets the corrupting elements of chaos. He gets the idea. Again, the Frontier World stuff is really the main part of this. He gets the bureaucratic nature of the Imperium. You do get a sense of a sort of a wider Imperium. But again, for instance, like, you know, he doesn't mention things about, the Frontier World thing is good, right? But it doesn't go mentioning, you know, Imperial patrols and that sort of thing around the fringes of the Eye of Terror. But then you can justify that to yourself that it's perhaps at a point in the universe where before the Eye of Terror was fortified, you know, the traitor legions are still forming. So, you know, it could be set in the period before the Imperium properly garrisoned, like after the First Black Crusade. It isn't till then that they're actually supposed to garrison Cadia. Before then, they just let the traitors disappear into the warp. And for that, in their minds, it was like 1,000 years later before they even, you know, that by then the traitor legions had become myths, you know. It was only Sigismund and people who were alive then that really remembered the threat. And that's the stories we get from Aaron Dembski Bowden in the Black Legion novel series. So for me, it's like, it is, some of the inconsistencies can be kind of explained away if you really wanted to. And that's kind of what I'm just asking you to do, really. Take it in good heart, take it in good fortune. I know a lot of people enjoyed the Pawns of Chaos series, and if you haven't listened to that, I recommend doing that. That's kind of the first time I did like a full reading. I felt like I wanted to do it. I really enjoyed that story growing up, that novel. And I really enjoyed this. I remember it sort of burned into my mind, some of the moments. Now, I was going to get I've decided not to involve anyone else in the production of this. I know some people are asking for, you know, there is a female character in this. I'm going to do the voice of that, basically because it's easier. You know, I have to arrange to get someone else in to help me, an actual female. And I'm sure she'd be willing, but it adds to the turnaround time, particularly when it's, you know, getting someone in just to do two or three lines in a chapter. It's a bit much. So I'll be doing the female voice. I apologise if you're not up for that. In terms of sound effects as well, I considered doing sound effects and things, but it's so all over the place with different settings and so on. I think it would just be, it's too time consuming, basically. And it would be inconsistent as well, because there's some stuff I just wouldn't be able to replicate. So it's going to be a straight reading. I'm going to be doing all the voices. And yeah, I mean, hopefully that is acceptable to you guys. I apologise if you were expecting something else, but, you know, we'll work forward from there. And yeah, that's basically all I've got to say, really. Take it with an open heart, you know. Like Pawns of Chaos, there's a few things that are a bit off, but there's some real gems of lore, and these are foundational bits of the 40K lore. Even if the writers that we've got now haven't necessarily read these books, they will have, the stuff they're working with was inspired by this and things like it, you know. So Dan Abnett wrote the first Gorn's Ghost book. That was the first book released, or the second book released, and this was, so this novel was released at the same time. So, for instance, if I look at the back, it says, more 40K novels from the Black Library, first and only, Into the Maelstrom and Space Wolf. So this is the timeline we're working with. The first Space Wolf novel, first and only, and Into the Maelstrom. Now, of course, we're working with the 20th or the 21st anniversary of First and Only getting released, which is the first novel I ever read, actually. Sat down and actually read, because I was I wasn't that interested in reading until fairly late on, but that really got me into reading and saved me from a life of chaviness and being a scumbag. Thank you, Warhammer. So I'll always have an affection in my heart for that, and these books from this range, because that was really when I was becoming alive to the world of writing, and this has inspired me later on, obviously, to read, you know, actual sort of great novels, classics and history and all that sort of stuff, and has made me the man I am today. So yeah, that's it really. I just wanted to say this, just in case anyone's listening to it and they're like, what the hell? And I know some people have listened to some of the stories. For instance, the Archaeosaurs is the most egregious error, but still, it's an enjoyable sci-fi romp with some good elements in. It's just a bit over the top. But at the same time, he wrote the Children of the Emperor story with the mutated people who have the additional limbs, which I'm sure many of you have listened to. Well, it seems to be. At the minute, it's on 20,000 views, which is pretty decent for my channel. So I'm very happy with how that's turned out, and people really like that. So you see, he's capable of doing this stuff. He knows the universe such as it was then. But he's coming from a background of science fiction writing anyway. So he's bringing a lot of that stuff over into this. And again, like I say, it was at the start of Warhammer lore becoming far more cemented with rules of the universe. Not just little tiny extracts and short stories in the Codex supplements and all that, and the expansion supplements and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, take it with an open mind. I think you will enjoy it. I hope you will enjoy it. We're going to be getting through it relatively quickly. Throughout the Christmas period, and for those listening in the future, if you are listening to this, it's 2019. I'm recording this on the 2nd of November. Going forward now through to January, I'm going to be doing daily uploads, and potentially multiple uploads a day, but at least daily. So yeah, this will be uploaded regular. It'll be in its own playlist, so make sure you keep an eye on that. But yeah, if you wouldn't mind, you know, if you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe. Do like the videos though, lads. It does help with everything. And let me know in the comments what you think, because there's some things that are interesting. Interesting if they've gone down a certain direction. You get me? The things that they chose not to do in the future with 40k stuff. But I think you'll enjoy this. I hope you do. This is just my defense of some off bits. Other than that, I will see you soon. The videos will be released regular. If not daily, then, you know, one every 2 or 3 days. And if they're not released, something else will be released in their place. So, yeah, have a great Christmas period. I will be back soon. Thanks very much. See you later. Bye.